sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. This is Messages on Demand.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Messages on Demand. This is Kenneth Unger, and I'm so glad to have you join us today. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. I ask now, Father, that you would be with us, Father, as we bring this message today. Father, that it would touch hearts and lives, and we give you praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Have you ever reached a place in your life where you felt like all was lost? I think everyone has at some time or another. Maybe you call it being down in the dumps or depressed or all kinds of names we can give for it. When we come to that time in our life when it seems like nothing is really going the way it needs to go and everything is going wrong. I know sometimes I fight those battles where I come to do something and it just seems like no matter how I do it, everything is going wrong. And maybe you've even felt like you're on the deck of the Titanic. Remember that great ship, the Titanic, the unsinkable Titanic? Yet on its maiden voyage, hits an iceberg. And I know recently it's been debated whether it was the iceberg or a boiler room fire that caused it to sink. But the boat went down. Everybody was having a good time. Everything was going right. But suddenly, the ship is sinking. And there were people, as they gathered on the deck, watched as the last of the lifeboats were lowered into the water, full to capacity, and yet they were left standing on the deck. Some folks volunteered to stay behind, others just flat got left out. And maybe sometimes that's the way you feel that life is treating you, that you're just kind of left out. Nothing is going the way it should go. A number of years ago, we went on a missions trip to the South American country of Guyana. And while we were there, we were invited to go up the Essequibo River, which is one of the largest rivers, actually, in South America, and go up the river to a community called Bartica. Bartica has been there for many, many years, and if I recall correctly, was originally a Dutch colony. But when we arrived there, the local pastor invited us to go across the river and visit an Amerindian village. And of course, we were excited to do so because, number one, none of us on our team had ever been to an Amerindian village. Number two, at that time at least, in Guyana, the Amerindians were known as the Forgotten People. Many of them still living as their ancestors did 1,000 years ago. So we thought it would be exciting to go across the river and visit this village. And I will say it was exciting because you see on the way down to the river, we were riding in a vehicle called a Land Rover. It's a Jeep-type vehicle, for those of you that may not know. And I remember at one point along the way, the driver turned to my wife and said, "Sister Unger, the Rover has no brakes." Well, I'll tell you, that'll put a little chill in your system right then. when you find out the vehicle you're riding in has no brakes. It's kind of a scary thought. But we continued on down to where the boat was docked, and we got to the boat, and the boat had, I thought, a very appropriate name, especially later on. It was named the Full Gospel. Well, crossing the river, which I've stated is a very wide river. In fact, you really can't see the other side from where you start. And we get in the boat. The water is quite choppy. It almost reminded me more of being out on the ocean rather than being on a river. And the waves were splashing over the bow of the boat. And they gave one of our team members, Mel Young, they gave him an umbrella to hold as he stood up front and fended off the water that was splashing into the boat to help keep us from getting wet. But you see, that wasn't stopping all the water from coming over into the boat. Water continued to splash into the boat, and the boat is already setting low in the water. Now, I'll have to say right up front here, I know how to swim, but I'm not very good at it. And I knew my wife doesn't know how to swim at all. And we had no life jackets. And I'm sitting there. My hands are on the edge of the boat. And my fingers are dangling in the water. In other words, we had maybe 3 inches of the boat that was above the water. And I remember silently crying out to God, Lord, surely you didn't bring us all this way to drown us. Because it was a circumstance that could have easily turned into such a disaster as that. And maybe sometimes in our Christian life, we're walking along and all of these things are going wrong. And it seems like you don't know which way to turn. And so to speak, your hands are already dangling in the water that's about to come over the sides of your boat. And maybe you're crying out, Lord, surely you didn't put me in this place to drown me. The Bible tells us of a couple of incidents involving the disciples. And today I'm going to read it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible because the translation, I think, is very apropos to the language that you and I would probably use if we were put in that circumstance. And in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 22, and we'll go all the way down to 24. It says, one day, he and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they set out. Now, I don't know what the weather was like right then, but maybe it was a very calm body of water at that time. I don't know, but they set sail. And in verse 23, and as they were sailing, he fell asleep, speaking of Jesus. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. I'm reminded, my wife and I had a chance to go to the top of Mount Pilatus and Switzerland. Mount Pilatus, named after Pilate, who you are familiar with in the Bible story of the crucifixion. And legend has it, I don't know if this is truth or not, but legend has it that after Pilate's body had been rejected from several burial places, they put it in the sea and the sea rejected, they put it in the ground and the ground rejected it. Finally, his body is tossed in this lake according to a legend that's around there. And as a result of that, violent storms can suddenly strike Mount Pilatus, which is high up in the Swiss Alps, can become very dangerous. And so I can imagine, as I'm thinking about that, that here they're facing a fierce windstorm that's come suddenly upon this lake, and their boat is about to sink. It says they were in danger. They were in fear for their lives. And in verse 24a, the first part of verse 24, they came and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to die." Isn't that the way you would do it? If you were in the boat and someone who could help you out was sleeping in the boat, wouldn't you grab them by the shirt collar, so to speak, or the lapels of their garment, and shake them and say, "Wake up, wake up, I'm about to die. We're going to drown." I imagine there was some panic that was setting in. And maybe at some time in your life, you've been in a circumstance like that. And maybe you've never been in that type of circumstance. But I know that typically with everyone, we go through some times when it seems like our boat is about to sink. And maybe it's not a boat. Maybe it's some other incident that you're in. Maybe you're about to be involved in an automobile accident. Maybe you're about to be involved in some other kind of disaster. And I'm thinking right now, here in the U.S., in the state of California, Northern California, there's a place called Oroville, and a very tall dam there. In fact, I believe it's the tallest dam, at least in America, maybe in the world. And it's about to crumble. And I can imagine what some of those folks are thinking. If this thing gives way, and I'm still here, I haven't evacuated, I could be a goner. My boat's going to sink. Everything is going down. Disaster. We all face times of hardship. We all face times of trouble. We all face times of trial. But we need to remember there's someone we can turn to and say, "Master, I'm about to go under. Jesus, I need your help." Because the last part of verse 24 says, "Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. So they ceased, and there was calm." You see, Jesus can bring peace in the middle of the storm. He can bring peace when it seems like your boat's about to sink. He can bring peace. He can bring deliverance. He can bring victory. The Bible also tells us another story about the disciples, found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 22 through 32. And it says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the side." Now let me stop for a moment here. Jesus has been ministering to the people, and it's time to break up the meeting. It's time for them to go somewhere else. So it says he put the disciples in a boat, sent them ahead of him that go to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And in verse 23, after dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was there alone. So he's put the disciples in a boat, told them to go to the other side. He's dismissed the group that's gathered there, sent them home, and he's gone up on the mountain to be by himself and to pray. But in verse 24, but the boat was already over a mile from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. I want you to recognize here in both stories, when they started out, the waves weren't like this. It was a peaceful situation. But the wind again has come up and it's battering the waves. And the ship is in danger. They're toughing it out there. I don't know what was going through their minds, really. It doesn't really say here. And it says, about 3 a.m, and I know in most translations it says the fourth watch. So you've got to remember, Jewish day starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 6 p.m, then it becomes the night. And so it's divided into two watches each, of two watches of the day, two watches of the night. So it's about 3 a.m. And he came toward them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, oh, this makes me laugh right here almost. It says they were terrified. And I want you to think about it a minute. If you were out there in a boat and there's a storm going on, and you see somebody walking across the water, it'd probably shake you up as well. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. And I think that's probably maybe putting it a little mild there. It's a ghost. They're probably saying, God help us. There's a ghost out there. And immediately Jesus spoke to them, have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. I know sometimes in our life we get into a situation where there is fear comes upon us. Human beings have a tendency to get themselves, every once in a while, into some scary situations. And for some of you, it may be more times than others. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's I. Have courage. And Peter says, and let's read it here, verse 28. Lord, if it's you, Peter answered him, command me to come to you on the water. Peter's really going to put him to the test. If you can walk on water, you can make me walk on water. Come, he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, I want to stop here a minute. When he saw his circumstance, the wind was blowing. It says he was afraid. For about 6 years, we lived in Southern California, in an area that every year has what they call the Santa Ana winds. The actual original words used was Santana winds, or the devil winds. And those winds can get up to over 100 miles an hour sometimes. You go outside and you try to walk, and it seemed like for every step forward you took, you'd almost get blown back 1 or 2 steps. and things would get blown down. It was like living in a hurricane, almost, except you didn't have the rain with it. And it became scary, because you can imagine, I'm sitting in my house, and the winds are blowing, and the glass in the window is actually flexing, and you can hear it. I tell you, it has its own strange sound when glass bends. And it was flexing. It's scary. And I'll tell you, I prayed a lot in times like this. And now where we live, we occasionally have strong winds and tornadoes. And I do kind of like what Jesus did back in what we just talked about. Many times I walk out on the deck behind my house and I speak to the wind, "Peace, be still, in Jesus' name." And I'm thankful for God's blessings, because He's heard my cry, He's heard my prayer. But let's go back to our story here. "But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink." Maybe he wasn't in a boat and it wasn't the boat sinking, but he was physically sinking there. And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" What do you think you would do? I'm sure you'd be crying out as well. Verse 31, "Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said unto him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" And sometimes our boat begins to sink because we let doubt creep into our lives. We let the fear of our circumstance creep into our lives. We're probably everyone guilty of it. At times, our boat starts to go under because we let fear come into our life. We have doubt that comes into our life. In verse 32, here's the amazing thing. When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. It stopped. The storm was over. I want you to know that when Jesus is in your boat, the storm can't harm you. When they were in the ship and he was asleep, the storm came up. But all he had to do was say, "Peace, be still." Here, the wind is blowing. He's walking on the water. He gets into the boat, and the wind ceased. "Peace, be still." And the storms in your life can serve to bring you into a new relationship with God. It can work that way. Bring us into a new understanding of what God wants in our life and how God reacts to us in our life. I ask you, where are you at in your life? Where are you at in your life? Are you putting your trust? Are you putting your faith? Are you putting your confidence in God? Are you putting it in your things that surround you? Are you putting it in your accumulation, your wealth, whatever it may be that you have? Are you putting it in God? Are you in a storm And there may be some, undoubtedly, that are listening to this message, whether it be today or at a later date, that will be in a storm. You need to cry out to Jesus and let Him take charge of the situation. Is there doubt in your life? Is there a lack of faith in your life? And so many times it seems like that we come to a place in our life where our accumulation of worldly goods seem to take first place, and the things of God seem to take a back seat. We put our trust in what we have instead of our Heavenly Father. We need today to return to putting our trust in God. Our wealth will not save us. Our possessions will not save us. The things that man gives to us will not save us. Only God can save us. And how is that? It's through the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary by the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua in Hebrew. And I don't care what your language is, He has a name that you've translated it into. I want you to know He understands you when you cry out. The Apostle Paul was speaking on a place called Mars Hill, and he remarked about all the statues to the various gods that had been erected there. And not taking any chances, they had erected a statue to the unknown God. And he tells them, I'm here to tell you about this unknown God. The God who created heaven and earth. The God who created all things. The God who created you and me. The God that loves you. Maybe you're going through a time right now where it seems like your ship is about to sink. Turn it over to God. Cry out to Him. He'll be there for you. And maybe everything's going okay in your life right now, but who knows? Sometime in the very near future, things could go downhill rapidly, and it seems like your boat's going to sink. Turn it over to Jesus. Cry out to Him. And lastly, if you're listening to me today and you have never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, maybe you've gone through some of these things, and maybe you're going through some of it right now, I want you to know Jesus Christ is there to save you. The Bible tells us He's come to seek and to save the lost. And if you don't have Jesus Christ in your heart today, you are lost. But you can invite Him into your heart and life. The Bible says He stands at the door knocking. All we have to do is open the door and ask Him to come in. And if He's knocking at your heart's door today, why don't you say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart today. Dwell in me. Save me. And He'll do so. He'll do so. And if you want more information about this gift of salvation, I suggest you go on our website to the page that's called Salvation or How to Be Saved, and it'll give you more information about salvation. do it today. Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for all that you've done for us. And I thank you, Father, for those that are going to reach out and ask Jesus into their heart and life. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to Messages on Demand. If you have been blessed by this message, please let us know. You may contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us. Again, that's pastor@tlhf.us. Or by clicking on the Contact Us button on the homepage of our website, www.tlhf.us. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production, a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship.